Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right, we're going to get into the message that we've been on. Pastor Nathan is out of town, and the team asked me to bring this one because we're in a series called Listen. It's Jesus speaking to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is a present day, it's Turkey. And Smyrna is the one that has been assigned to me. Last week you had, which, Ephesus, thank you. And so this is on Smyrna. Let's go right into the word here. Revelation 2, 8 through 11. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, and by the way, these are red letters, meaning this is Jesus himself, he's speaking. The words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days, you will have tribulation. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. So here's Jesus himself speaking to this church. It's all Jesus himself. And he's pouring it out. And he begins by saying something that could look odd to you if you haven't don't have a Bible background or commentaries at home. When he says it's written to the angel of the church, that is a pretty clear to people that do not believe that that's to an angel who's watching over the church. This is written to the pastor, the elder, or the bishop over the church. And in this particular case, I'm not exactly sure who it was, but John is writing this out. John is recording this. And it's a very clear word to this church. And every one of these churches that he's writing to, all the seven churches, there is an individual word from Jesus to these local churches. As I've traveled, I was in Midland, Texas 2 weeks ago. And then before that, I was in Raleigh, Durham. And then at another time, I was down in Tulsa speaking, and then in Orlando speaking. And if there's one thing that's very clear, is all these cities are different from one another. Have you noticed that yet? That here we are in New York City, it's different from Orlando. I mean, in Orlando, I'm walking into a restaurant and I'm putting on a mask, and the pack of guys that I'm with, these Floridian guys, say, "Get that mask off." I'm like, "Man, this is like so different from New York City." It's like, "Get that mask on, or we're going to imprison you, or whatever." Fortunately, not that, but you know what I'm saying. And your neighbor looks at you like, "Wait." They back up. It's like, "This, you're not wearing a mask." But in Florida, it was just so different. In mid-cities, in Midland, Texas, it was so different. And in New Orleans, we were there not too long ago there as well. That's different. And God has an individual word for this church. God has a word for you. God has a word for us. The way that God works, it's not a, like you go in a department store and you buy something off the rack. God has something tailor-made for you, specific for you, specific for New York City, specific for our church. But in this particular case, we have to learn from what we're seeing Jesus is saying to Smyrna. What is he saying to Smyrna? So let me just pray and let's ask as we work our way through this short passage. I want to ask that God would speak to you. I want you to ask, "God, speak to me today." And I have no control or desire to control how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. But I deeply desire that you hear what he's saying to you. Because that's how every one of these churches, Jesus ends with the same thing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Lord, we thank you right now. If you want to, just put your hands on your ears. Lord, open my ears to hear. Open my heart to receive. Open my spirit to understand. Give me what only you can give me. I want you to speak to me, and I want you to lead and guide me into the path of righteousness for your namesake. I pray, Lord, today, deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I would have to say, if I could boil it down to 2 points and maybe a third point at the end, is that Jesus, in this passage, is Jesus the pastor and also Jesus the prophet to this church. He is the pastor, that's our first point, that you can't help but see that Jesus loves this church and cares for this church. Matter of fact, in the other Ephesus and the others, there's always a sort of a rebuke before Jesus gets into the encouragement. In this church, and wouldn't you like to be a part of this church, that there is no rebuke. He is just simply pastoring them because they are going through it. They are going through trials. They are going through temptation. They are going through tribulation. They are going through imprisonment and all of these things, even martyrdom, and we'll get to that. But the first thing you notice is that Jesus cares and he's referencing, I know your affliction. I know your poverty. I know Jesus is saying, I am not separated from the knowledge of what it is to go through pain. Jesus is offering warmth. He's offering empathy. He's offering care. He's offering concern. He's saying, I am with you through the fire that you're going through. And I hope you hear that, those of you who are going through the fire right now. Jesus is not separated from what you're going through. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 4:15, it says in the book of Hebrews, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I know your tribulation and your poverty. I know your tribulation and your poverty. I understand it, Jesus is saying. I get it. You have to go through it, but you're not alone. That's what he's saying. You have to go through what you're going through, but you're not alone. You're not alone. You have no idea how many people are going through whatever it is that you're going through. Many other people are going through that too. And we have to learn from each other in our struggle. The very word tribulation is a Greek word, thlipsis. Thlipsis. We have a Greek background person in the congregation today, at least one. And that's a word that speaks of pressure. And it's a word that's also talking about internal pressure that causes someone to feel restricted and without options. You ever felt that way? I feel restricted and without options. I don't have any options here. And that's a cause for hopelessness. However, we have been very warned by the Lord, and the Lord has warned us that we're going to go through things in the Christian life, but God will use that pressure to bring about something beautiful and something good. You want to hear what happened to me yesterday? I got a call. We landed in New York City yesterday morning, in the morning, around 10 o'clock in the morning. And at 3:30 in the afternoon, I got a phone call. Lynette and I don't own any property here in New York City. People oftentimes will walk by in our apartment in New York, and they'll just swear that we own it. Listen, I wish we could own that apartment. It's very nice. We have had a miracle deal here, and so we're renting. But we do own a home in North Carolina. And yesterday, I got this call at 3:30. It was my next-door neighbor, a great man who we're good friends. And he called me, and he was very frantic. I've never heard this calm CFO guy. I've never heard him panic or be frantic. But he called me to tell me that there's a fire on my house and on my property. And he was very panicking about it. And he said, I've called the fire department. He said, I'm 100% sure it's my fault. My grill sent embers into your lawn, and it's a winter grass that dies, and it's like, hey, in the front yard, the back deck, everything's on fire. And then I, you know, fortunately, God gave me the grace to say to him, Dave, it's going to be okay. Thank God that you're a good neighbor. It's going to be fine. God's going to help us. When's the fire department getting there? He said, any minute now. And fortunately, they got there, and there was very minimal damage to the home. But I'll tell you why. You know, it's amazing that God uses everything, doesn't he? And we don't ever need to panic when we're going through it, even though you feel like it. My girls were crying. They're hearing this. You know, my wife was like, what's going on? Of course, you know, we were in that together, but we were calm. Why? Because we know God, all things. We're Romans 8:28 people. Romans 8:28 is that we're convinced that God is for us and not against us. We're also convinced that everything that happens to us, it's for a reason. And we know that God is, Romans 8:28, somebody help me with that. All things. You guys are better than me. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Rex. Now, you're going to come up here and say it because you say it with so much diligence. Come on, honey. You have to come up. The people online have got to see my beautiful wife, okay? Thank you.
So I've learned every time something happens, I look at Ron and I say, this is going to turn out for our blessing. And then I declare Romans 8:28, which says, for all things, we know that all things work together for good, for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things, not some things, all things, even what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn for good. And you get to be our age and you see it over and over and over. You got to be patient and you got to trust and cling to God. How in the world will this turn for good? But all things work together for good for those who God loves, who love God and are called according to his purpose, and that is you. Whatever fire in your life right now, whatever's burning your property, you just sit down. I'm going to take this thing.
Thank you, darling. Thank you so much. She's so much better than me anyway. You know, so a couple things. Number one is while we were on a work week in North Carolina, we had a lot of business with our churches there and all that. But while we were there, I called our landscape guys and I said, you know, I haven't changed this mulch around the house in 2 years. I need, it was all dried up and all that. But would you come out and just bring, so they came out like 3 or 4 days ago. And they had fresh, ready, moist mulch all the way around the house. And it was like a bloodline right there because everything it was on that line, the fire could not cross over. So whatever the lipsis you're going through, there is a bloodline around your life. And you're here and you're alive and you're well because God is letting you go through something, but you shall not be destroyed. You will not be consumed. Though you walk through the fire, you will not smell like burnt whatever it is. And I'm just grateful that God uses all of these things. And so often, those who suffer the most shine the most. We heard about the African-American journey this month. We heard about it through Bonnie St. John. We heard about it through Will Ford, through Dr. Nee Addy. And we are all, we want you to know, we are coming back. But a lot of times the evil that's coming against us is not just, it just doesn't randomly happen. Like happened to me yesterday. It's just a random thing of a wind blowing and embers being released. It was random. But sometimes people are malicious enough to come after you personally. Have you ever had that happen to you where somebody who's evil is coming after you to tell lies about you, to slander you, to have a lawsuit against you, false accusation, hatred of you, envy of you, jealous of you? God forbid that we never participate in any of that. God forbid that we don't come against somebody for coming against us. There is a way out of your temptation. There's a way through it. And you're going to come out better. And that's our message of Romans 8:28. You're going to come out better in whatever you're going through. And that's what we see. And they said Paul, or not Paul, but John identified that this, in this particular situation, he called it the synagogue of Satan. Now, technically, we don't know if that's Gentile people who are faking to be Jews and they're actually idolatrous Roman worshipers and worshipers of the emperor and idolatrous people, or we don't know if it's actually Jewish people who are totally misguided, like the Apostle Paul, who was a zealot and wanted to kill those who were Jewish turning to Christ. So we don't know, but we do know this, and this is like a very important disclaimer. We just know for sure that the synagogue of Satan has been used to justify anti-Semitism and hatred against the Jews. However, that's total ignorance of the biblical context. Why? Because Jesus himself is and was Jewish, right? And also John, the Apostle John, was Jewish also. So they were not condemning in any way Judaism. However, there was a sector of somebody who we don't exactly know. And we can't take that out of context and be hatred of a people group when we know that this evil that we see here is available to every ethnicity on the planet because human hearts are all flawed and have failed. Well, the pastor, Jesus, continues to speak at this church of Smyrna in verse 10, and he said, do not fear what you're about to suffer. I love that Jesus trained the disciples, trained his followers to be withstanding and able to know that that one who is in us is greater than those who are against us. Knowing that we have, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Whatever you are facing, it seems sometimes so oppressive, so big, like there's no way I can win against this trial. The greater one lives inside of you, and he's going to help you through. Jesus said it himself. Don't fear what you're about to suffer. And he tells us and lets us know in all honesty that the Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's not going to be the easy road. It's going to be the road less traveled. We're walking ourselves right into places where Jesus clearly said, you're going to go out like sheep amidst the wolves. You will, and we have, and we've all suffered with it to a small degree or in some cases a large degree. And yet we always overcome. I want you to see this verse right here that's really helped me in my life. Mark 10, 29 to 30. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel. Look at this promise. Who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Look at this though. With persecutions. We're going to be persecuted. It's a reality. I rarely speak about the ways that I've been persecuted in my life because I'm a follower of Jesus. I don't talk about it much. I don't feel like I need to talk about it much. But it is a reality. We could share stories sometimes. We could share our woundings sometime. But we have to learn, as the apostles did in Acts 5, they were flogged. Then they were ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were beaten, and then they were released. In verse 41 in Acts 5 says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the sake of his name. And they kept on preaching, and they would not stop. We have to learn that even though we're persecuted, we cannot stop. We cannot give up. We cannot cave in. We cannot surrender to the enemy. We must declare to our dying breath that Jesus Christ is Lord. We sang about his name this morning. We sang about the greatness of that name. The one who came down from heaven, who conquered evil, who conquered death, who conquered burial, who conquered the grave. He is the one who we serve. And when we serve him, we're saying no to all the other options and all the other idols. In 1999, I met with some leaders of the underground house church movement in China. We have an image here from many years ago, and I don't know if this is going to be able to pop up, but I asked them as I met with them. I met with these leaders. They all were, and that's only like one-third or one-fourth of the group. It was a very gutted out, cold room, and they picked me up to take me because I'd been helping to establish training centers in China for the underground house church movement that is considered illegal in the nation of China, because the way to be legal is to register and become a legal church operating in China. But Jesus is not the head, but the leader of China is the head. The Communist Party leader, ironically, is the head of the church. And so these underground leaders said, we can't be a part of that. And I have Christian friends who are a part of it, and they said, this is how God has led me, and I'm part of their lives too. But these leaders said no to that. And so they were celebrating. We were celebrating together, and each of these leaders on average would have, like in their house church movement, the minimal would be, in this particular room, was 1 million, majority be on average 3 or 4 million. And this man who's looking at us smiling right there had 10 to 15 million. And I asked them, how did this happen? They said, it's because God used us. I said, how did God use us, use you? And they began to tell me the stories. I said, so wait a second. I was just in my mid-30s. And I said, how did this happen? Because so many of you, how many of you were in prison? Every hand went up. every hand. In prison, for one reason. One reason. And that's because they were preaching Jesus. So then my next question. I was just getting to know them. I said, how many of you have been tortured? Every hand went up. I was like, what was that like? And they began to tell the stories of ways that they were beaten, ways that they had to eat grass to survive while in prison. Things that they had to go through and had to endure. This is real life. This isn't just back in Smyrna. This is today. Wherever you are as an American, right, left, elephant, donkey, anything in between, anything, I want you to thank God for this nation. Be thankful for where God has placed you. Because in many nations, when you serve Jesus, you're either going to prison or you're going to be beaten and flogged or you're going to be martyred, completely martyred. I deal with this on a weekly basis. Again, I'd rather talk to you about the five keys to a happy Christian life, frankly. I really would. I'm positive. Yeah, come on. Amen. Let's get off of this martyrdom thing right now. We want to go out of here happy. But see, the reality of what we're reading in this text is that when you do go through that, even if you're going to be tortured or martyred, God gives you the grace to make a decision and come out on the other side to be a very happy camper. Because those who are martyred ultimately get the crown of life. They get the victor's crown. And this world is not the dead end cul-de-sac. This world is simply a dress rehearsal for the world to come that is greater and more important than this world right here and right now. Oh, that God would help us to get that and understand that. This is a very powerful time to hear their joy in the Chinese church amidst great persecution and torture. They were laughing. They actually were laughing. They were telling us funny stories about how they would stick the cattle prod always on the glands under the neck because that would just send a shockwave through their whole body. But it wouldn't kill them. But it would torture them. And they said many times, all of them had these individual stories. They were from different parts of the nation. And we would go around and I said, what was it like for you? And many of them had this same story. I'll never forget it. Many times they would stick the cattle rod and they would pull the button to send shock into their body. And it wouldn't work. And all of them said it had to be God, but we had to fake and act like it was really happening to us. And it was hilarious. I said, show me what that was like. And it would get in the floor and, do that. And some of them would drool out of the mouth. And they were all laughing so hard because they had a common experience. You see, God will give us the grace even when we go through that. He will stop the enemy right there on the track. He will give us something. But my sweet little Isabella, my darling daughter, as I was talking to her about this, she said, well, what if we could just cross your fingers behind the back and said, oh, yeah, I'm not really following Jesus, And she's like that. I said, honey, it doesn't really work that way. God will give you the courage to go through it. That's what Jesus does with us. He's saying, I'm with you. I'll give you what it's going to take to go through your cancer, to go through your lack of a loved one, or go through a divorce, or go through a separation. Jesus will always be there for you if you don't leave him and walk away from him. So we'll try to be quickly here, but Jesus is also the prophet. He's the prophet. Ephesians 4:11 calls it the apes, or the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. That's called the fivefold ministry. This is the apostle. He grounds and starts and guards churches. But here's the prophet. The prophet right here is the warning right there, that thing right there. He's always warning. He said, let me tell you what's coming. And Jesus held nothing back. And I pray that in this pulpit right here that we could get more used to telling you what you're really going to go through and not giving you a false prophecy, not giving you a false impression. There will be tough things to go through, but you're going to, as a man, you're going to get more muscles. You're going to finally get your spiritual six-pack ab. You may have a six-pack ab right now and look all lean and mean, fighting machine and all that, but your spirit might be as flabby as an old, never mind. You might have a big old keg in your spiritual belly, But God wants to make you tough. And so he allows you to go through things. Turn this into a men's meeting right here. Jesus said these words, "Be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life." He also said in Matthew 5, 11 through 12, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." And so they persecuted the prophets, and so for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let me tell you a brief story about Polycarp. Anybody ever heard of Polycarp? Two people. God bless you. Let me tell you about Polycarp. Polycarp was an actual disciple of John. He was his spiritual son. He was trained by John, and he was the bishop of Smyrna. So after John left, he became the bishop of Smyrna. And this Polycarp, here's his story. He was an old man. Persecution from the Romans broke out against the Christians, and they began looking for Polycarp because they wanted to persecute him, and they were looking for him. And they called for him, and then finally, the Romans actually tortured the information about where he was living out of two boys, tortured them to find out where he lived. They showed up at his home, and they said, "We're here to take you away, and we're going to throw you into the arena," meaning he's going to be eaten by the lions in one of these gladiator arenas. And when they showed up at his home, he knew what was happening because God had already warned him. He knew that this was the end of his life. He was 86 years old. And when he got there, the first thing Polycarp did, he walked out to the soldiers who were there to arrest him. And he said, "I want to feed you lunch." And then after he fed him lunch, he said, "Can I have one more hour? Before you take me, I want to pray." It took 2 hours. He prayed. And then they actually decided to burn him alive. And the cries of the Romans in the crowd, they wanted to kill Polycarp, but the Roman authorities thought, "He's an old man. Let's just let him go. Can we just let him go?" So finally, the Roman commander pled with him, and he said, "Curse Christ, and I will release you." His reply was this: "86 years I have served Jesus. He has never done me wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King who saved me?" So they burned him, but his flesh would not burn. So they went up and they stabbed him. And then people who were standing by watching, they said, "I smell no burnt flesh. I smelled baked bread." True story. Jesus is telling the people of Smyrna. He said, "I'm going to give you some prophetic insight." He said, "Something is definitely going to happen." But he's telling them it's tough, but it's going to get tougher. And I wonder sometime if that's true for America. I'm not saying that we're going to end up like this. Definitely not. I don't believe we are. But I would say that it's probably tough right now. Have anybody felt the toughness of what's going on? Christians are all of a sudden, we once were recognized as, you see that St. Jude hospital? Yeah, that was Christian. Do you see that hospital over there or that orphanage there? Yeah, this is Christian. But all of a sudden, society is saying we're the bad guys. So we have to know how to operate in a world that is against us. And part of the beginning is to show people what we're for and what we're doing and letting them know that we are doing something that's powerful. I want to get to my third point just in this, and that's you're meant to be an overcomer. You're meant to overcome. I want to show you some pictures of a sweet Korean woman right here who's been in my life, and she's precious. She's been a part of our church in South Korea. She was an escapee out of North Korea. And there she is. I wrote her Korean name down. My apologies. Her last name is Won. I remember that. That's her last name, Chae Hyun Won or something like that. And she came to see us in After she was able to escape, she became part of our church in Seoul, Korea, and then eventually she made it over to America. I interviewed her, and we had her speak to our church. And her story goes like this, that she was a granddaughter to a woman in North Korea who was a strong Christian, and she was known. And the North Koreans came in and arrested her, and they beat her because they heard that her grandmother was a Christian. Not because they heard she was a Christian. She was not. They kicked her face. They kicked all of her teeth out. They dropped her twice. They raised her legs up, had her hands tied behind her back, dropped her twice on her head. And she was crying out the whole time, like, I don't know why you're doing this to me. That was my grandmother. The third time they dropped her, she heard this song. It was Amazing Grace go off in her head. It was the song her grandmother sang over her as a young child. She heard it, and she felt no pain the third time they dropped her. After that, somehow miraculously, she escaped through China down into South Korea. And amazingly, she's going around the world sharing that Jesus Christ is worth your life. Jesus Christ is worth your teeth. Jesus Christ is worth the suffering. Jesus Christ has given me a new life. I found Jesus after I went through all of that. And you hear stories like this, and I could go on more. I'm out of time now. It's official, I'm out of time, but I'll just end with this verse, John 15:33, that Jesus warned us. And he said these words, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have phlipsis, tribulation. You will have tribulation. But it doesn't end there, because Jesus says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. That's what our Lord says. I have overcome the world. And because Jesus overcame the world, here's the great news. Whatever God did for Jesus, his son, he does for us also. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. And we come in after Jesus in this tradition of the people of God who embrace the suffering and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to just stand up together as we're closing here, and my wife is coming to join us right here. Thank you for playing that, Apple. Thank you. Just keep that going. That's just, thank you. I love this church family. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for those of you who are watching online. We love you. We care about you. And we want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We want you to so badly to be strong enough to withstand that when family members come against you, you say, greater is he that is in me. What can I do? Like old Polycarp said, Jesus has been good to me for 86 years. How can I turn on him now?
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.